الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praise is due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and to grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad, his companions, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the Day of Judgment. Continuing with the tafsir of Shaykh Sa'di rahmatullahi alayh, Surah Al-Baqarah verse 144, it reads, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قد نرى تقلب وجهك في السماء فلنولينك قبلة ترضاها فولي وجهك شطر المسجد الحرام وحيثما كنتم فولوا وجوهكم شطرة وإن الذين أوتوا الكتاب ليعلمون أنه الحق من ربهم وما الله بغافل عما تعملون عما يعملون. Excuse me. Someone read in English, please. 144.
Verily, we have seen the turning of your face towards the heaven. Surely it shall turn you to Ibn, where the right direction that shall please you. But turn your face in the direction of Al-Masjid Al-Haram, and woe and wheresoever you people are, turn your faces in prayer, and in that direction. Certainly the people who were given this scripture, Jews and Christians, know well that returning towards the direction of the Kaaba, at Makkah in prayers, is the truth from their Lord, and Allah is not unaware of what they do.
Barakallahu feek. يقول الله لنبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم قد نرى تقلب وجهك في السماء أي كثرة تردده في جميع جهاته شوقا وانتظارا لنزول الوحي باستقبال الكعبة. It said, Allah says to his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah sees the turning of the Prophet's face, turning his face in the direction of the skies or the heaven. Meaning, the Shaykh said, meaning how often the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to abundantly look in the heavens in different directions, awaiting and anticipating, there you go. Anticipating the sending down of revelation pertaining to turning his face towards Al-Kaaba. He was anticipating that particular revelation, that the ayah will come down, where he would be commanded to turn to Kaaba. And Allah saw him in that state of anticipation. وَقَالَ وَجِّكَ وَلَمْ يَقُلْ بَصَرُكَ لِزِيَادَةِ اهْتِمَامِهِ وَلِأَنَّ تَقْلِيبَ الْوَجْهِ مُسْتَلْزِمْ لِتَقْلِيمَ الْبَصَرِ لِتَقْلِيبَ الْبَصَرِ. The Shaykh said, and Allah said that Allah sees the turning of his face and not his eyes only. He said because the indication of the face indicates the Prophet's interest is more than simply the eye. When you turn your face, that means you are more concerned about looking than just simply turning your eyes. He said, and when you turn your face, you automatically will have to turn your eyes. So here, wajhak, to indicate also the level of anticipation and the level of care that the Prophet ﷺ had, that he wasn't only turning his eyes, he was turning his whole face in that particular direction. فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ أَيْ نُوَجِّهَكَ لِوُلَيَتِنَا إِيَّاكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا. Meaning we will turn you because of our special care that we have for you. And Allah said to the Prophet ﷺ, because of the special status, the wilayah, which is Allah being his protector, Allah being his the one who is arranging his affairs and what have you. قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا أَيْ تُحِبُّهَا. A direction that you are pleased with means a one that you love. One that you love. وَهِيَ الْكَعْبَ and it is الْكَعْبَ. وَفِي هَذَا بَيَانُ لِفَضْلِهِ وَشَرَفِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The Shaykh said, in this ayah we understand the virtue of the Prophet Muhammad صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. حَيْثُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يُسَارِعُ فِي رِضَى. So much so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seeks to please him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is self-sufficient, when the Prophet had this indication in his heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses accordingly in order to bring comfort to the heart of the Prophet. And how often do you come across this in the Quran? Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ قَوْلُهُمْ. Do not be saddened with their statement. you know, if they have disbelieved in you, then verily they have disbelieved in the prophets that came before you, easing it upon the Prophet ﷺ, making things more easy because of, you know, he was stressed out. Given da'wah, people rejecting him, given da'wah, people saying he's a magician, his own family, his own relatives, his own tribe turning against him. You know, you cannot even imagine what the situation is like, unless you're a new Muslim and you've had to go something similar with your family members. But in essence, it still not be as severe as what the Prophet ﷺ undergone. So with that said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleasing him in order to ease things for him, alayhi salatu wasalam. ثم صرح له باستقباله. Then Allah clearly indicated that he should turn his face in that direction. فقال فولي وجهك شطر المسجد الحرام والوجه ما أقبل من بدن الإنسان. So turn your face towards the Masjid al-Haram. Sheikh said الوجه, the face, is that which is in the front of the human's body. That which is in the front of the human's body. وحيثما كنتم أي من بر وبحر شرق وغرب جنوب وشمال. And wherever you may be, whether you are on land or in the ocean, whether you are in the west, in the east or in the west, or south or north, فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرًا, meaning turn your face in that direction. أي جِهَةً, meaning in the direction of the Qibla. فَفِيهَا اشْتِرَاطُ اسْتِقْبَالِ الْكَعْبَةِ. Now the Shaykh is deducing in the fiqh that in this ayah there's a condition that you, the condition of the salah is that you must turn towards Al-Kaaba. A condition for the salah. I'm sure you've studied those at some point, maybe the shurut of the salah, the arkan of the salah, wajibat and sunan. لِصَلَوَاتِ كُلِّهَا فَرْضُهَا وَنَفْلِهَا. And this is, the Shaykh said, for all prayers, obligatory and voluntary. وَإِنَّهُ إِنْ أَمْكَنَ اسْتِقْبَالِ عَيْنِهَا وَإِلَّا فَيَكْفِي شَطْرَهَا وَوُجْهَتِهَا. The Shaykh said, وَجِهَدِهَا. And that it is compulsory that, you know, you, if you try to get it exactly, you know, the exact location, then you must do so. Otherwise, at least in that direction, you cannot exactly, like nowadays they have, you know, this compass and they're able to measure, you know, the degrees of what direction you should have. That's preferred, that you are that exact. If you're unable to do that, then at least, يعني, what you assume to be the direction, you could guess that Kaaba is in this way, then you turn in that way. This is all based on ability. وَأَنَّ الْإِلْتِفَاتَ بِالْبَدَنِ مُبْطِلُ الصَّلَاةِ. Another thing that the Shaykh deduced, that turning your body during salah will nullify your salah. يعني, because Allah made a condition that you turn towards the Qibla for the salah. So if something happens and you turn, خلاص, you are off. You are off the direction of the Qibla. So your salah becomes void. This is all an obligatory salah, because we have exceptions from the Sunnah. I don't know if the Shaykh mentioned it or not. We have exceptions from the Sunnah. Prophet used to pray the Sunnah in whichever direction his camel will be going. Okay, if the Kaaba was if you're able to face the Kaaba, then this is preferred. In our case, you don't have to worry about it, because when was the last time you traveled on a camel? Okay. So turning towards the Kaaba then is a condition for the Salah. Turning away from that will nullify your Salah. لِأَنَّ الْأَمْرُ لِلْشَيْءِ نَهِي عَنْ مُبْدِهِ. Because whenever something is commanded, then you're automatically prohibiting its opposite. So if I say, be dutiful to your parents, I'm automatically prohibiting being undutiful to them. Be kind, I'm prohibiting being evil. Just like that. Common sense, sir. وَعَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ. وَلَمَّا ذَكَرَ تَعَالَى فِيمَا تَقَدَّمَ الْمُعْطَرِدِينَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَغَيْرِهِمْ وذكر جوابهم ذكر هنا أن أهل الكتاب والعلم منهم يعلمون أنك في ذلك على حق وأمر لما يجدونه في كتبهم فيعترضون عنادا وبغيا. When Allah mentioned earlier that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned those who will reject or oppose that particular commandment, how come you're going to turn from Bayt al-Maqdis now to Kaaba, from among the people of the book and others, and Allah gave him the answer already. He mentioned here that the people of the book, the scriptures, the Jews and the Christians, and the people of knowledge among them, they know that this thing you're upon is the truth and it is a commandment of Allah because of what they find in their books. So then they only reject that out of arrogance and transgression. فَإِذَا كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ بِخَطَائِهِمْ فَلَا تُبَالُوا بِذَلِكَ. If they know that they're mistaken, don't even be concerned about them. فَأَنَّ الْإِنسَانَ إِنَّمَا يَغُمُّهُ اعْتِرَاضُ مَنْ اعْتَرَضَ عَلَيْهِ إِذَا كَانَ الْأَمْرُ مُشْتَبِهًا. You only يعني feel uneasy, if someone criticizes or rejects what you have said, if that person has a valid يعني proof, he has something that is acceptable, so then you become concerned, okay, now you know this guy is rejecting my statement and he has some strong argument, so then you get some sort of worry. But the sheikh said وكان ممكنا ان يكون معه صواب, if it's possible that he may be right. فاما اذا تيقن ان الصواب والحق مع المعترض عليه وان المعترض معاند عارف ببطلان قوله فانه لا يحل لا محل للمبالاه. But if you know that the person who's opposing you does not have the truth, it does not have the truth in any way, shape or form, and you know that he is just simply being arrogant and being stubborn, okay, and he knows that his statement is upon false, so there's no room here for you to even be concerned. Don't even bother. Don't even feel sad about such an individual. So this is yani relevant to da'wah in our day and time, where sometimes you give da'wah to someone, you see what I'm saying, and they may present to you something, some misconception about Islam that you're unable to answer. You see what I'm saying? So you may become worried at that particular moment for not being able to convey the message properly. It's a strong misconception. You just don't know the answer. So now there's reason for you to grieve, at least. Because, you know, you're in a situation where you're unable to remove this misconception, and this person may leave this sitting with you thinking that he's upon the truth and you're upon the falsehood because of some misconception. This, for example, the marriage of the Prophet ﷺ to Aisha at a very young age. If you're unable to refute that, and it is very easily refutable, you will be in trouble. Because they will come and tell you pedophile and you know this and that, and this is child molestation and all that, and you know you'll be like, oh, what are you going to say? I mean, let me test you right now. Hold on, I put on pause here. If they complain, then you don't even pay attention to them. بل ينتظر بالمعترض العقوبة الدنيوية والأخروية. Rather, for someone if he criticizes and his criticism is not in place, it's irrelevant, then you only expect this person's punishment, both the worldly and the one in the hereafter. فلهذا قال تعالى وما الله بغافل عما يعملون. That's why Allah says that Allah is not unaware of that which they are doing. بل يحفظ عليهم أعمالهم ويجازيهم عليها. Rather, Allah will preserve and will keep record of their deeds, and He will recompense them for them. وفيها وعيد للمعترضين وتسلية للمؤمنين. And in that, there's a threat for those who reject, and then there's easing upon the believers. Allah is easing it upon the believers that don't be concerned with the criticism of those whose criticism does not benefit, nor does it harm. طيب, verse 145. ولئن أتيت الذين أوتوا الكتاب بكل آية ما تبعوا قبلتك وما أنت بتابع قبلتهم وما بعضهم بتابع قبلة بعض ولئن اتبعت أهواءهم من بعد ما جاءك من العلم إنك إذا لمن الظالمين. Verse 145, please, يا أخوان.
And even if you were to bring to the people of the scripture Jews and Christians, only proofs, evidences, verses, lessons, signs, revelation, etc., they would not follow your qibla, prayer direction, nor are you going to follow their qibla, prayer direction, and they will not follow each other's qibla. Verily, if you follow their desires after that which you have received of knowledge from Allah, then indeed you will be one with the Zalimun.
بارك الله فيك. طيب نعم, you finished reading. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من كمال حرصه على هداية الخلق يبذل غاية ما يقدر عليه من النصيحة ويتلطف بهدايتهم ويحزن إذا لم ينقادوا لأمر الله. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to be so keen on the guidance of the creation that he would strive to the best of his ability in advising them, and he would be very gentle in trying to guide them, and he would be very grieved and sad whenever they would not follow his command or the commandment of Allah, whenever they would not follow the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فكان من الكفار من تمرد عن أمر الله واستكبر على رسل الله. Among the disbelievers were those who were too arrogant in regards to the commandments of Allah, and they were arrogant in their treatment to the messengers of Allah. وترك الهدى عمدا وعدوانا. And they abandoned guidance intentionally and as means of aggression. فمنهم اليهود والنصارى, among them were the Jews and the Christians. أهل الكتاب الأول, the people of the scripture, the first people of the scripture. الذين كفروا بمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم عن يقين لا عن جهل. Those who disbelieved the Prophet ﷺ with certainty, they disbelieved in it based on certainty, not ignorance. يعني it was clear to them that he is the one that is prophesied in the Bible, Old Testament and the New Testament. They knew that this was him. Especially back then, they learned among them. Nowadays, the average Christian may not know from the Bible that there's a prophecy about the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, especially that they have translated the words, the name into other words, you know, English words, the Comforter, or they're all together lovely, and they took away the name Muhammad. Back then, that wasn't the case. So they were still dealing probably with the original language or something along these lines, and so they knew the prophecies that they had about his coming, alayhi salatu wasalam. So they disbelieved in him, yeah, knowing what's going on. Not that they were ignorant or they had no knowledge. They had knowledge, but they chose to disbelieve. فَلِهَذَا أَخْبَرَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَنَّكَ لَوْ أَتَيْتَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ بِكُلِّ آيَةٍ. That's what Allah told them. If you bring to the people of the book every ayah, every sign, every verse, بِكُلِّ بُرْهَانٍ وَدَلِيلٍ, every evidence and proof, يُوَضِّحْ قَوْلَكَ, that will clarify your statement, وَيُبَيِّنْ مَا تَدْعُو إِلَيْهِ, and it will make clear what you're calling to. مَا تَبِعُ قِبْلَتَكَ, they will not follow your qibla. أي مَا تَبِعُ, meaning they will not follow you. لِأَنَّ اتِّبَاعُ قِبْلَةَ دَلِيلُ عَتِبَاهُ, because if they were to follow من القبلة, that means they're following him. So but when Allah says they will not follow your qibla, meaning they will not follow you at all, يعني. وَلِأَنَّ السَّبَبُ هُوَ شَأْنُ الْقِبْلَةِ وَإِنَّمَا كَانَ الْأَمْرُ كَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّهُمْ مُعَانِدُونَ. So the reason is the qibla itself. And it was, if the affair was as such, because they are stubborn. They are stubborn. عَرِفُوا الْحَقَّ وَتَرَكُوا, they knew the truth and they deliberately abandoned it. فَالْآيَاتُ إِنَّمَا تُفِيدُ وَيَنْتَفِعُ بِهَا مَنْ يَتَطَلَّبُ الْحَقِّ. So when do the ayat, the signs, when do they benefit? They benefit when the person is seeking the truth. When the person is asking for guidance and they seek the truth, then you present to them the verses from the Quran and the ayat of the deen of Islam. This is when they will benefit from it and they will embrace Islam. Otherwise, it will not happen. فالآيات أيوة نعم. وهو مشتبه عليه, someone who's in a state of doubt, he's looking for the truth, that's how he is guided. فتوضح له الآيات البينات, so the clear evidence manifests for him the proof and the truth. وأما من جزم بعدم اتباع الحق فلا حيلة فيه. As for the one who has the deliberate intention not to follow the truth, there's no way around it. There's no way for this person to guide. You cannot guide him possibly if he does not want to become guided. وأيضا فإن اختلافهم فيما بينهم حاصل. Also, the difference among the people of the book is already established. وبعضهم غير تابع قبلة بعض, and some of them do not follow the direction of others amongst the people of the book. فليس بغريب منهم مع ذلك ألا يتبعوا قبلتك يا محمد. So it is not strange or not unexpected of them that they will not follow your qibla, O Muhammad. If they already differ, like the denominations among Christianity and the Jews for example, if they already differ amongst each other regarding the aspects of the religion, then you will not be shocked or surprised when they will differ with you, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. نعم. وهم الأعداء حقيقة الحسد. And they are the enemies with clear true envy. They have envy towards the Muslims. وقوله وما أنت بتابع قبلتهم أبلغ من قوله ولا تتبع. And Allah says, and you are not to follow their qibla. And Allah did not say do not follow their qibla. It just making it like a khabar, like a news information, meaning you will never do that. It's more eloquent. لأن ذلك يتضمن أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم اتصف بمخالفتهم. Because that indicates that the Prophet ﷺ has the very character of distinguishing himself from the people of the book. فلا يمكن وقوع ذلك منه. So it is impossible that this will ever take place from him where he will turn towards the Qibla. ولم يقل ولو أتوا لو أتوا بكل آية لأنهم لا دليل لهم على قولهم. And Allah did not say regarding them even if they bring every sign or verse, because they don't even have an evidence about what they're claiming. وكذلك إذا تبين الحق بأدلته اليقينية لم يلزم الإتيان بأجوبة الشبه الواردة عليه. No, سبحان الله. The Shaykh said, if the truth has been made clear, listen to this, this is relevant to our discussion earlier. He said, if the truth has been made clear through through undeniable certain evidences. Yani if you have clear evidence about a particular issue that was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no need to bring any answers to any doubtful matters. There's no requirement. You may do this voluntarily just to remove the misconception out of courtesy. But in essence, there's no such obligation. Once the truth has been cleared and it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then case closed. Because people may understand, people may not understand. لَأَنَّهُ لَا حَدَّ لَهُ. Because there's no limit for it. People will continue to open up issues and bring other stuff. And you know, I'm talking about the disbelievers. That is, they will continue to find, you answer that one, for example, dealing with the marriage of Aisha radiallahu anha, then he will bring you something else. And then you answer something else and he will bring you something else. And so on and so forth. So really, you don't have to do that. Once you know that these people are being disrespectful and you have made the truth clear for them in terms of Tawheed, then you are not obliged to answer all the other misconceptions. You may do it voluntarily just because you want to be kind, but you don't have to do that. Because we already have certain evidences about where the truth is. And these people are not upon that. لِلْعِلْمِ بِأَنَّهُ كُلُّ مَا نَافَ الْحَقِّ الْوَاضِحِ فَهُوَ بَاطِلٌ. Because we know whatever opposes the clear truth, it is falsehood. Whatever opposes the clear truth is nothing but falsehood. فَيَكُونُ حَلِّ الشُّبَهَ مِنْ بَابِ التَّبَرَّعِ. So, the Shaykh said then, answering or resolving misconceptions is only a donation. It becomes only as a donation that you give, okay, I will do this for your sake. But in essence, you don't have this particular obligation because you will never end. It's an unending issue. If someone wants to find faults, then you can find faults in everything and everyone. You see? So much so that the people find faults in Allah. You hear this. People say, how are you going to say Allah is like that? Why did Allah reveal this? Why did Allah allow that? You see, as if people are more knowledgeable than Allah. So they go to the extent that they criticize Allah and what Allah revealed, as if they are the wise and Allah is the one who lacks wisdom. So you see, if you open this door, there's no solution for it. The person will continue to... Why did Allah create us? Why? Why this hellfire? Why? Why is this paradise? Why people go to that? Why? You know, if you open it, why, wallah, you, if you're going to answer, nothing will please this person. He will not be satisfied. So you don't have to. Say, listen man, this is life, you're living it, this day of judgment, you'll be held accountable, this is the truth from Allah, you like it, ahlan wa sahlan. You don't like it, hit the road jack. You know what I'm saying, ma'a salam. Khalas, we're going to sit there with you all day, all my life, wasting my time with you going back and forth. If you don't want to believe, khalli walli. I cannot make you believe. I cannot make you believe. I will give you da'wah, but I cannot change your heart. I will invite you, but I cannot change you. Some people are like that. You know, they don't want it. They do not want the da'wah. They do not want the guidance, so you cannot guide them. Allah knows about those who want guidance, so they will be guided even if there are misconceptions in the way. How many people become Muslim without ever having their misconceptions answered? They still don't know why, you know, a woman wears a certain clothes, why a man may marry for a woman. They don't know the answers for these, but Allah guides them to Islam. Still they embrace Islam. They still have misconceptions. Then once they learn Islam and they become Muslim, then they try to find the answers. Then they become satisfied with the answers, you see? Because Allah wanted to guide them because they wanted guidance. But those who don't want guidance, they will always present excuses to justify their rejection. Oh, I'm only not become Muslim because the Prophet did this. What is your business, Sinta? What is your business with that? If you want to use this, we can give you hundreds of other evidences from the Bible if he's a Christian that tells you something even more dramatic than what you are claiming. You know what I'm saying? Judah sleeping with his daughter-in-law. He thought she was a prostitute. He had a deal with her. And it turned out to be his daughter-in-law. Judah in the Bible. Lot slept with his two daughters. You know, both became pregnant with them, conceived children from their father while he was drunk. Noah, it says that Noah got, in Genesis, he got drunk, he walked into the room, he laid naked on the floor, his son came, walked in, saw his father laying naked on the floor, drunk. David was, you know, upstairs, he seen a woman taking the shower, said, bring it to me, had a relationship with her, found out that she's married, got after her husband, got him killed, you know what I'm saying, in the battlefield, in order for him to hide his fault. And we could go on forever, quoting supposedly the messengers committing the most heinous of crimes that even the regular person doesn't commit. So if they want to come and say Prophet ﷺ married a woman at a young age, say, look at this man, what you have in your book. You answer this, and then I will answer that for you. Allah, you know what I'm saying? We're just telling you about Tawheed, worshiping Allah alone. We're not getting pick on every little thing. These are events that happened back then. You don't know about them. You don't have knowledge of history. You were not alive during that time. You don't know anything. I will answer you out of courtesy. Out of courtesy, out of donation for you. But in reality, that's none of your business. Do you believe in the oneness of Allah? If yes, then what is the only religion that teaches that? It's Islam. What? If you want to worship others with Allah, and there are many other religions that will accept you. Because all of them will in essence call you to worship other than Allah. So really that's the fundamental principle of da'wah. Tawheed. That's what every وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَعْبُدُونَ. Allah says, and we have not sent a messenger before you, except that we reveal to him that there is no God worthy of worship but I, so worship me. That's it. That is what every messenger brought to his people. Even Lut, who came to the homosexuals, his people were homosexuals. He called them to Tawheed first, before he told them to leave alone this particular wicked act. Although it is, you know, they were destroyed. But Tawheed was the fundamental call for Islam. So you brothers involved in da'wah, whenever you come across these misconceptions about Islam, some of this criticism that they may have against Islam and the Prophet ﷺ and otherwise, then you always take it back to Tawheed. If you are able to answer the misconceptions, then this is a bonus for you. But in essence, this is not your obligation. Not every Muslim is going to become a scholar and be able to deal with all the misconceptions. But what you're supposed to do is be able to deliver the message of Tawheed to the average non-Muslim. Once you have done that, then with Allah you're excused for having delivered the message to that person. If Allah has put in the heart the natural inclination towards Tawheed. Natural disposition, fitrah, you have Tawheed. It is something that is already with the potential to be activated. All it requires is that the message is delivered and it becomes active. That's your job. It's in everyone's heart. If you give them Tawheed and they reject it, khalas. Then their affair is with Allah. Allah knows about why they rejected and what is their situation, what their condition, whether they will accept it later or remain in their rejection, that's now beyond your ability. Then you are limited to the scope of delivering the da'wah to the best of your ability, particularly the da'wah of Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what the whole deen of Islam and all the deen, the religions of all the prophets and messengers, which was Islam also in different forms, it was about Tawheed. Establishing the worship of Allah alone in this earth until you leave this life and you pass away. نعم. ولئن اتبعت أهواءهم إنما قال أهواءهم ولم يقل دينهم لأن ما هم عليه مجرد أهوية نفس. Allah says, and if you were to follow their desires, and the Shaykh said, verily Allah said desires, and he didn't say if you were to follow their religion. He didn't say if you were to follow their religion. He says because whatever they upon is strictly desires. Strictly vain desires. There's nothing to do with the religion from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. حَتَّى هُمْ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ يَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ بِدِينَ. Even in their hearts they know that this is not a religion. Where was I? نعم. وَمَنْ تَرَكَ الدِّينَ اتَّبَعَ الْهَوَى لَا مَحَالَ. And whoever abandons the religion, he will follow his desires. No doubt about that. قال تعالى أفرأيت من اتخذ إلهه هوى. Allah says another occasion of the Quran. Have you not seen he who has taken his desires as his Lord? Then his God becomes his desires. Whatever his self tells him to do, he will do it. Fornicate, he will fornicate. Drink, he will get drunk. Kill, he will kill. Steal, he will steal. Although he has a Lord that told him not to kill, not to fornicate, not to steal. But then when he follows his desire, who is his ilah? Who is his God now? Himself. Because he has a God who is commanding him and prohibiting him, he doesn't bother. He follows whatever his self tells him, that's his God. He became a slave of his own self, his own desires. Hey. مِن بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. Meaning after that which has been brought to you from the truth. بِأَنَّكَ عَلَى الْحَقِّ. That you are upon the truth. وَهُمْ عَلَى الْبَاطِلِ. And they are upon falsehood. إنك إذن أي إن اتبعتهم فهذا احتراز لألا تنفصل هذه الجملة عما قبلها ولو في الأفهام. إنك إذن, meaning if you do follow them, and this is just to being careful in the wording so that people will not think that there's a distinction, you will not part the two parts of the sentences, even it's just in the thoughts of the people. لَمِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ, meaning you will be among the wrongdoers, the oppressors, the disbelievers. أَيْ دَاخِلٌ فِيهِمْ, meaning you will be included in them. ومندرج في جملتهم. You'll just be under their flag. وأي ظلم أعظم من ظلم من علم الحق والباطل. Who is more oppressive than he who knows from the oppression of he who knows the truth and he knows the falsehood? فآثر الباطل على الحق. Then he favored the falsehood over the truth. وهذا وإن كان الخطاب له صلى الله عليه وسلم. And although the ayah, the context is speaking to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, فإن أمته داخل في ذلك. All of us, his ummah, are included in that. فإن وأيضا فإذا كان هو صلى الله عليه وسلم فعل ذلك وحاشاه صار ظلما ظالما مع علو مرتبته وكثرة حسناته فغيره من باب أولى وأحرى. Then even if he صلى الله عليه وسلم was to do that, meaning he was to follow their desires after the truth has come to him, and the Shaykh said وحاشاه, and he's high above that, he would never do that. Even if he were to do that, he would become oppressive. Although he has this high status with Allah and the many good deeds that he has, then what about those others? Then of course this is more so. This is more so. So that is an indication that ya akhwan, after Allah has guided you Islam and you have seen the truth, nothing is more oppressive than turning away from the truth and following the desires of the people after the truth has been made clear to you. This is the speech is directed to Prophet Sallam, and we as his ummah, we are automatically included in that particular speech as well. طيب, inshallah, we will conclude, just in case Dr. Yahya came in. We are at verse 146. طيب. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.